Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. As we come this morning, only one announcement. Normally, I wouldn't say this to you, because Connie Gosher might be one of the nicest people I've ever met. But if you received an email from Connie this week saying that she wanted you to send her a gift card, ignore that. Of course, the funniest part is Connie's the person that we all emailed to get gift cards, so that alone should have been a little bit of a warning that something was not kosher in that email. But no, Connie had one of those problem emails go out this week, and she phoned me and said, "What do I do?" And I said, "Well, when it happened," because she remembered it had happened to me, and I said, "Well, when it happened to me, I announced on Sunday to ignore it because I'm the minister and I stand up front and I do those things." But because of the nature of what Connie does here for us, we figured it might be a good idea to make that announcement as well. So Connie has had some problems with her email with security this week, but everything is good. Don't respond to that email and don't send Connie gift cards. She doesn't really need them. But again, always an important thing, if you ever get an email that doesn't sound right, often you can figure out that it's not right by double-checking what the address is at the top. Because if you remember, when I received it, I was actually the rabbi of a synagogue in New Zealand, if you looked carefully at the email address, which just doesn't make sense. So that's one thing to remember. And always be careful with your emails these days. It's not always as easy to figure out what's a real one and what's not. So just a little announcement there. Other than that, we're thrilled to have all of you here this morning, and we're thrilled to have those who join us on the live stream with us this morning as well. Oh, I should say, I am Reverend Adams. You go away for a couple of days and everything just goes to heck. I thought I should put my name across the back of my alb, but I forgot that. I get busy doing other things this week. If you weren't here last week and you didn't watch the live stream, you got to go back and watch the opening of worship where Cynthia forgot my name. It happens to the best of us. That's why in many churches the Lord's Prayer is taped to the pulpit, because you forget things like that when you're standing up here in front of all of you. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle. As a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and we place our trust in him and seek to walk in his ways. Let us come before God this morning with the call to worship. The call to worship, as is our custom, is responsive and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. People of God, bless the Lord.
Bless God's holy name.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love for us. Let us worship God. Let us come before God in worship and praise this morning as we gather our voices in prayer. Let us pray. Creator of all, you formed us in your image and filled us with your life-giving breath. We bless you, even as your name is holy. Redeemer of all, you have ransomed and healed us, restored and forgiven us. We remember your blessings with thankful praise. Sustainer of all, tune the very fiber of our being so that it resonates with the songs of the angels, And we join the hymn of all creation, praising you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. We come in worship this morning singing the hymn 407, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. The hymn is in the book or will appear before you on the screens. Friends, as we draw near to God, let us lay before the Lord every sin that hangs so heavily upon us, that we might be set free to live in righteousness. Let us come together saying the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screen. You are faithful, O God of mercy, from everlasting to everlasting. Forgive us when our faith withers, our passion grows weary, and our focus wanes. You are loving, O God of mercy, from everlasting to everlasting. Forgive us when our love is too shallow, our compassion too slow, our status too important. You are the Creator, O God of mercy, from everlasting to everlasting. Forgive us when we fear stopped calling, stopped reforming. Contact us enliven us, and lead us to know the depth of your steadfast love. Amen. Friends, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. Listen to these words and live in peace. Through Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Once more, let us sing the hymn 484, The Church is Wherever God's People Are Praising, number 484, or on the screen. Now, we have some young people here this morning. Oh, guys, I'm going to move. Always messes up the gentleman at the back when I move, and I'm on the wrong side, too. So we have some young people this morning. Would Noah, Matthew, Victor, would you guys like to come up here this morning? Good morning, Noah. How are you? Good. Good morning, Victor and Matthew. Andrew. Oh, I was close. I was close. I knew it was a Bible name. I'm sorry, Andrew. I missed you guys last week. Were you here last week? Oh, well, I wasn't here last week either. Because I was traveling. And I was thinking about traveling this week, and This is how much my world has changed. When I was small, we had globes, and there was always a globe in the church. In fact, when I was first in ministry, there was always a globe in the church, and I thought, I don't remember seeing a globe at St. John's. So I brought our atlas from home, which is a book of maps, right? Are you familiar with atlases? All kinds of places? They're amazing. I liked globes better. I remember as a kid in the summertime, I would spin the globe, and then you would stop it and see what country it landed on. Remember my story the other week about, gee, I'm bored? And that may be that. So I was thinking about travel this week, because now if I can find the map of Canada, because I traveled last week to, there we go, to London, Ontario, right? So there we are, right there, right? And there's London right about there, right? So comparatively speaking, we think that's a long way. Now, your dad came from Cameroon. Or Congo, yes. Sorry. I'm not doing well this morning. I'm getting close. I'm getting close, but no cigars. Where's Africa? Even better, where's a big world map? Because Africa, of course. is way far away. And Congo would be in about, it's right there, right? Yeah, that's where I was going. Yeah, not quite as bad off as I think I am. I almost remember my geography from school, don't I? And of course, Canada is way over here. And we're at the end of Lake Ontario, kind of right in between Ontario, Lake Ontario and the St. Lawrence Rivers. Right there would be us, right? Big distance. Are you going anywhere this summer? Think you'll travel? Quebec? Well, that's kind of like my big trip to London. We'll all travel to different places, and people here, they're from different places, and they traveled to many different places, right? It's one of the cool things that we get to do sometimes. But what I was thinking about as I was thinking about worship this week, and we talk about this with the adults here in a little while in the sermon time, is that the amazing thing about the Church of Jesus Christ and the gathering of the saints, us who come together on a weekly basis to worship, is that it's everywhere. There isn't a continent in the world that does not have a church. I was going to doubt that for a minute, but I'm pretty sure there's a church on Antarctica, which would be the iffy one. But every place there is a church, and every place there are saints, people just like us who believe in Jesus and seek to walk in his ways. And that means wherever we go, we can go to a church and we will find welcome, and the biblical word for being welcomed is hospitality, the gift of hospitality. We will be welcomed. And I hope in your travels, wherever you may go this summer, and your travels wherever you may go this summer, that you always take the opportunity to visit a church and sit with the saints, just like us, and share in their worship. And I know some of you do, because I've got bulletins in my office that people have brought back from churches where they worship when they're traveling. So I know people do that. And if you want to do that for me during this summer, that would be a wonderful thing too. And we'll have a little collection of all of the places where we have been this summer if you happen to be worshiping with our friends elsewhere. So I think that's an important thing that we always need to remember, that it doesn't matter where we go, we can find a church. And when we find a church, we will be welcome there. And that's an amazing thing. But it's true because we're drawn together in God's love. So that's my little story for you this morning. I hope you get to go somewhere this summer and see a little bit of the world, whether it's Quebec, or I'm going to go to Prince Edward Island in August because that's where my mother lives. So I will see Mom in August. Or maybe you're just going along, Sue. And that's okay, too. So let's have a brief word of prayer, and then I'll let you guys go back and sit with your parents. Let's pray. Dear God, And we can repeat the prayer, too. We're out of practice with this stuff, aren't we? Dear God, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your presence with people around the world. Help us to be welcoming. And help others to welcome us when we travel. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you after church. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of justice and mercy, by your Holy Spirit inspire us through your word and shape our lives according to your will. We pray all of these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 1, verses 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Our second reading will be responsive, Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name."
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits.
"Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him.
For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust.
The third reading is from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 to 18. "Do I say this on human authority? Does not the law also say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.' Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Or does he not speak entirely for our sake? It was indeed written for our sake, for whoever plows should plow in hope, and whoever threshes should thresh in hope of a share in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we harvest material things? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we still more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who work in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is sacrificed on the altar? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing this so that they may be applied in my case. Indeed, I would rather die than that. No one will deprive me of my ground for boasting. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a wage, but if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my wage? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel.
Our hymn is 498. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. 498. And continuing to read from God's Word, as it is given to us in John chapter 7, verses 32 to 36. Let us listen once more for God's Word to His people. Now the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering such things about Jesus. And the chief priests and the Pharisees sent the temple police to arrest Him. Jesus said to them, "I will be with you a little while longer, and then I am going to Him who sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, 'You will search for me, and you will not find me'? And where I am, you cannot come." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for His word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the heart of each of the Gospels, there is a question about identity. Who is Jesus? And is Jesus really the Messiah? And then there is some acknowledgement of Jesus' heavenly origin. Now, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these are big stories, these stories about the identity of Jesus. the question of Jesus' identity is articulated in his teaching, and then we are given the story of Peter's denial, right? We all know Peter's denial. And Jesus' heavenly nature is revealed in the next story, which is the story of the Transfiguration. The church has built a whole feast day on that story of Transfiguration. But in John's gospel, this revelation takes on a different form. Whereas the synoptics have these two great stories, Peter's denial and the Transfiguration, John conveys this most important crisis of the church with confusion, debate, and misunderstanding. Perhaps, then, it is no wonder that we don't spend much time in the usual diet of preaching on John chapter 7. It's a difficult chapter to unpack, as often things are in the Gospel of John. And yet this chapter aptly portrays for us the questions that we all wrestle with as we seek to fully understand the person of Jesus Christ. Like the crowds here in the story, we struggle to figure out who Jesus is. We wonder if the divine could be contained in so human a form. Does Jesus not seem sometimes too much like us? Tired and in need of quiet time on the mountaintop or beside the lake. Exasperated at the denseness of his disciples when they just don't seem to get it. Sometimes Jesus really does seem like just another guy from a small little place in the middle of nowhere. And all of this is present in today's gospel reading and the verses that surround it. I didn't belabor you with copious verses from John chapter 7. 4 were enough, I thought. But the questions that are swirling in this crowd that is drawing everybody's attention to the crowd is, surely this guy can't be the Messiah, can he? I mean, look at him. He's from Galilee. And in response to all of these murmurings and all of the questioning, Jesus responds with, well, a very Johannine response for Jesus. Jesus says, I will be with you a little while longer, and then I am going to him who has sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Those who have gathered around Jesus to listen to his teaching and the temple authorities who have been drawn in to that crowd by the controversy that is swirling around the edges about who Jesus is, all of them are left puzzling. Again, a very Johannine state. Where does Jesus think he's going? Where can this man go that we won't be able to find him? Is he going to preach to other lands, the dispersion, other lands, to the Greeks and other Gentile nations out there in the surrounding countryside? It's very typical sort of misunderstanding that we find all too often in John's gospel. Just a little bit of irony and a little bit of truth masked in the confusion. Listen carefully to those words. Think about them. Surely the first followers of Jesus who read John's gospel in this passage that we've heard this morning from John chapter 7, well, they must have smiled just a little bit. Because these words, well, the funny thing about words in John's gospel, they don't quite get it, and they're absolutely right, both at the same time. Imagine that. Surely then they must have smiled, because the Jesus that all of these people who are in this crowd are wandering about so much, the Jesus that they define as being so small, just another little guy from Galilee, nothing more than the carpenter's son. He did indeed go where they could not follow, didn't he? Jesus went to his death upon the cross to redeem the world from his sin. He descended to the dead and did battle there with death itself and rose again on the third day. Could any of the religious authorities of Jesus' day have done that? No. No one else could have done that. And through Christ's self-giving sacrifice, the gospel story was carried by Jesus' first disciples and then by the apostles like Paul and James and then by others out into the dispersion, those countries into which Jewish people had moved that surrounded the promised land. And in that dispersion, it was indeed proclaimed to Greeks and to Romans and many other people right up until today. And today, as we shared with the young gentleman down front a few minutes ago, in every land and to every race, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed. And where it has been proclaimed, it has taken root and it has flourished. Sometimes in public, sometimes in secret. But for those who are open to hear the good news, they have received it with joy. The story goes that following the fall of the Iron Curtain back in 1989, when travelers from the West first began to explore the country that used to be the former Soviet Union, a remarkable thing happened. Travelers would return and they would report that as they journeyed through the countries of the former Soviet bloc, people would come out to them, and when they learned that they were from the West, they would ask them if they had a Bible. And so it started this little underground operation of travelers going through into Eastern Bloc, former Eastern Bloc countries, and having a Bible or two in their pockets so that they could give them away to people who asked for the good news. And these people would share with these travelers as they asked them for their good news, if they had a copy of the Bible, their own ragged and dog-eared copies of Bibles that had been hidden from the authorities for decades. Sometimes it wasn't a whole Bible, it was just a portion. Maybe just a book. Because they had divided their Bible up, they had torn it apart so that they could share the good news with other people. In much the same way as the early church. In the early church, the letters of Paul written as they are to various communities, we believe were often circulated amongst the churches so that not only the Ephesians got to read the book from Ephesus, but from Ephesus it would go to Galatia and to Corinth and other churches along the road that others might hear the proclamation of God's word. In this and so many other circumstances, the words that Jesus speaks in this chapter this morning come true. That he would go where those who with closed hearts could not find him. He would go into the hearts of people everywhere if they were open to him. And as the crowd speculated, he has indeed gone out into the diaspora, and he has been proclaimed to many people, different races, nationalities, creeds. Sometimes I think we lose sight of the life-changing power of the gospel. But then we stumble across passages like John chapter 7, and we're kind of reminded of it if we pause for just that extra moment and don't skip over it to get to the next good story. Sometimes we lose sight of the life-changing power of the gospel. Modern times, for most of us, we probably lament the state of the church and how few gather on a Sunday morning and how peripheral the gospel seems to be in today's world. And yet, nothing could be further from the truth. The message of John chapter 7 is that with Jesus there are limitless possibilities. To draw on the image that we find in the reading that we have today, we started with this affirmation, with this statement that the chief priests and the religious authorities had sent the temple police out to arrest Jesus because of all of this controversy, all of this murmuring that was going on. And yet, at the end of John chapter 7, this is John chapter 8. Jesus wasn't apprehended at all. The temple police did not succeed. It is impossible to arrest and to stop the proclamation of the gospel. That is the word of hope to the church. That the word that we proclaim and celebrate as we gather each week as the company of the saints cannot be apprehended. It cannot be contained. Many have tried in the past, from the temple police in John chapter 7, to the Stasi and secret police forces of the Eastern Bloc throughout the latter half of the 20th century, and in many other places around the world where Christians gather in secret to hear God's word, the word continues to give life and hope. And it does for us too. The word of God in Jesus Christ, the gospel story, is filled with possibilities of new hope and lives changed through Christ's acceptance and Christ's teaching. It is for us to be bold and to move out into our world to proclaim the good news, because that is the irony of the text this morning. Where is he going that we can't find him? Is he going out into the world where people have been dispersed, where people don't believe in anything or believe in things that are different than what we believe in? The answer in the text, of course, is yes. And the answer for us as the church is yes, too. To walk through the streets of our town and our country and to proclaim good news, to live lives that have been changed, that others may see the hope of Christ in us. To be welcoming and inviting, to show the biblical gift of hospitality as we shared with the young people this morning. Because that is what Christ calls us to do. The church welcomes others because Christ welcomes us. When we hear those words, that Jesus utters at the beginning. You don't know where I am going. Every time I hear those words throughout John's Gospel, I am automatically transported to a text a few chapters later, where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For those of us who open our hearts to the Lord, God offers us the opportunity for grace and peace. And that is something worth sharing. Thanks be to God. Amen. With thankfulness, we give in gratitude and joy. With prayerfulness, we give in sacrifice and love. With hopefulness, we give in commitment to God. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you our best, lest in gaining the world we lose life itself. As a covenant people, we seek to witness to your will and your way. Help us to know more clearly what you would have us do with the wealth entrusted to our care. As we contribute to the needs of your people, we present ourselves to be a living sacrifice. May we indeed be holy and acceptable to you as we render our reasonable service. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. God of all the nations, you gather people together in communities to care for one another and enjoy each other's company and creativity. We thank you for the support that we find in this congregation and for the difference volunteers make in our community. Wherever there is division in our world, bring unity, peace with justice. Where people dispute opinions, give wisdom to see what is important. Where people are tired and anxious, bring strength and courage. Tender and loving God, you formed the earth to be a place of joy and abundance for all your creatures, for food in all its variety, and the people who grow it, transport it, market it, and prepare it. We give you thanks, O God. We pray for those who cannot afford enough food and for those whose agricultural supply is at risk through extreme weather, uncertain prices, and social upheaval. Help us to care for the world and its fruitfulness and for each other in our common need for food. God of compassion, you call us to be communities held together by prayer and love for our neighbors. We thank you for the ministry that has blessed us through the concerns others have shown to us. Where people mourn loss of any kind, provide comfort, O Lord. Where there is illness and pain, bring healing. Where there is distress or discouragement, transform fear into hope. By your Spirit, equip us to serve one another in Christ's name so that your compassion touches lives with love and mercy. Living God, we lay before you now our personal concerns in this time of silence. We offer you our prayers, spoken and unspoken, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 645 in the Book of Praise. We've a story to tell to the nations. Number 765, or as it will appear before you on the screen.
Story to tell to the nation.
And now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face and shine upon you. May the Lord look favorably upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.